I tell you what, I've been thinking about this subject, about authentic Christianity. Because I tell you what, we all want something that's real, do we not? There's something in us that just hates things that are fake. Now, I'm not talking about superficial things. Obviously, I am not a real blonde. I can tell you that right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real heart issues, real Christianity. There's something, you know, as a pastor, one of the things that we hear over and over again, then it's the biggest criticism of the church, and that's that I don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites in the church. There's people that are acting one way when they're inside the church, and when they go out, it's an entirely different story. Now, I want to say this. The church is exactly the place where hypocrites need to come, because that's where we're going to be changed. And if we were truthful, none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. None of us are where we want to be, but we are constantly being changed from glory to glory in His image. And this is the best place to do it. I remember, you know, about 10 years ago, my mother went to be with the Lord, and I was devastated. I'll just be very honest. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why she was a godly woman. And I had lots of questions. And I want to tell you something. God can handle our questions. God is not too small that He can't handle a little question from me or from you. But I would just ask Him, say, Lord, I don't understand, but I know somehow that You are good and that You have a purpose in all of that. And I can remember people saying, well, don't you want to take some time off to kind of recover and to kind of grieve? And I'm not saying that that would have been wrong, but I want to tell you something. I knew that I was going to cry at home, and I would cry here in the presence of God, in the presence of my brothers and sisters. And so I was here every week at the piano, weeping copiously in the presence of God. And I want to tell you something. The healing power of God came on me as I was faithful week after week to come to Him, bringing Him my questions, bringing Him all of the things that I did not understand. And He was faithful to meet me there. So when I talk about authentic Christianity, I'm not talking about us being perfect. I'm talking about us coming before a perfect God who has the power to transform us. When we receive Jesus, we are instantly made new in our spirits. But I'll tell you what, our minds and our souls are constantly being renewed. We have to be renewed in our mind and in our soulish realm. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we do that? How do we become authentic? My husband was telling me the story about, he's a huge history buff, and he had heard about a nickel, a 1913 nickel, and there was only 5 of those rare coins. And the man that owned it didn't know what it was, and so when he died, he had left it for his heirs, for his children, and they took it to have it appraised, and no one recognized it. And so that 1913 nickel stayed for 40 years covered up in a shoebox in a closet. Then it was brought out and reappraised, revalued, and as it turns out, it was worth $3.14 million. When I heard that story, the Lord instantly spoke to me. He speaks to me many times through practical examples. And He said, many of my children are like that rare nickel. They don't know what's inside of them. They don't know their value. They're sitting in a box, hidden away in the closet. And what I want to do is to draw you out. The Lord would say that He wants to draw us out so that we can truly be the real us that He created us to be. Did you know that when He created you and He created me, He had an idea in His mind. He saw you before you were actually here on this earth. He saw us before we even were in our mother's wombs, and He had a plan and a purpose, and He had ideas and He had thoughts for us. And that's what we're constantly trying to come. And my definition of authentic is as close as I can be to what Jesus saw when He created me. That's what I would call authentic. And as you are being transformed into the image of the person that Jesus created you to be, you are constantly becoming more and more authentic. And you know, there is no greater joy than to know that He created us for a purpose. I want to talk to you. You know, when God gets me on a subject, it's everywhere I turn. Everywhere I turn this week, I was seeing things about authentic. I opened my Instagram. Get this, my son in New York had on a hoodie. Now, I've never seen this hoodie. And it was all the definitions of authentic on the back of this hoodie. So I had to write him. I said, can you please take a picture of that hoodie and send it to me? Because it's about what I want to talk about. And it's not anything to do with perfection. I'm just going to read you what was on his hoodie. Real, genuine, imperfect work in progress. We come to him and we give him our raw, honest, authentic, real lives, that he might teach us how to really love and that we might really love others. You know, sometimes the actual proof that something's authentic is in its flaws. Have you ever noticed that? You know, it's not cookie cutter factory made, it's made to be one of a kind. And that's what God has made you and made me. There is no one on this universe that can do the job that you were supposed to do the way that God called you to do it. And so that's why I am so desiring to be fully who he created me to be. You know, if I try and imitate you and become a carbon copy of you, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be like when my husband was growing up on the farm and his mother was very frugal. And so she would have, like, they would run to the end of the carton of milk, and she would add water to it to make it last, because there were 5 kids in the family, and sometimes the week was going to end before the milk ended, and so she would water it down. But I've always thought of that. Wow, I wouldn't want to drink watered down milk. And he's not a fan of it himself. He would tell you that. But when we try to be someone that we are not, we become a watered down version. I would rather see you fully engaged in what God has for you, not a carbon copy, an original, fully created human in the image of God, shining brightly for his glory. You know, everywhere I looked when I was researching this topic of being authentic, people have ideas. It's very important to people right now. In fact, if you Google it, you will find many different articles, 10 ways to be an authentic person, or how do you recognize an authentic person. Like I said, my definition is different because I am the Lord's, and are authentic as we become who he created us to be. You know, my daughter Nan, who you saw singing up here earlier, she has a habit of sending me random texts, you know, have nothing to do with anything. You know, I might not have heard from her for days, and then, you know, in a text, and then all of a sudden I'll get a random text. The other night, she knew nothing about what I was speaking about. She sent me a random text, and she said, I really want you to do ancestry DNA, just out of the blue. And I said, okay, why? She said, because I want to see what you are so I can know more what I am. And I recognized, you know, take my name out and put Jesus in. I want to see Jesus so that I can know who I am. It's only in seeing him that we can fully see who he's created us to be. And so the number one point that I would say to you, if you want to be an authentic person, is to seek wisdom and to truly know God. Seek wisdom and to truly know God. Proverbs 2:2-5 says, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. Now, the wisdom that we're talking about here is keen discernment. It's like inside information. It's like you have the inside track on something. It's like it's not just the superficial stuff. And so this is what we are supposed to seek. We are supposed to seek wisdom so we can know the inside track on who God is and who we are. See him as he truly is. See ourselves as we truly are. It's not always easily apparent. How many of you have ever done Easter egg hunts for your children? My mom was a huge Easter egg fan. She loved to hide eggs for the grandchildren. Now, let me tell you, the boy grandchildren, at least in our family, were not as skilled in finding the eggs as the girls were. You know, and maybe that's just a masculine thing. I know my husband panics when I say it's in my purse, go look for it. He won't do it. He'll bring me my purse and say, you look for it. So maybe that's just a man and a woman thing. But I do know that my mom had blue eggs for the boys to find, and they were huge, so that you could not mistake them. And the girls had smaller pink eggs, and the girls would run and find them. And many times, she would put it pretty much in plain sight. And lots of times they would walk right by it. And so she would come alongside and begin to give hints like, oh, I think there might be something behind that big tree. And then they would find it. And I want to tell you something, no greater joy did she have when they finally found those eggs. She wasn't hiding them really from them. She was hiding them for them. That's a huge difference. That's what the Lord does for us. There are treasures in His Word, treasures in His Spirit that He has hidden for you and for me that we will only find as we seek them with all our heart, as we cry out for wisdom, as we ask God for it. I heard an awesome testimony this morning of a lady that was at the 10 o'clock service. She said, I've been feeling so horrible. I just had no energy at all. And she said, all of a sudden I was in my house and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, well, cry out to the Lord. He's got an answer for you. And she began to cry out to the Lord. And right there in her house was something that it was a vitamin C that she needed for her system to, and she said, she was actually dancing in last service. She said, I cannot believe it. It's the difference between night and day from one minute to the next. But it started with crying out to God. Because I'll tell you something, God is not just going to tell you something about one topic. He knows everything. He knows secrets about your health. He knows secrets about your relationships. He knows the plans that He has for you to give you a future and a hope. And He's a good God. And so when we call out for Him to give us that wisdom, we can receive and we can see Him for who He really is and see ourselves for who we really are. Do you want to know God? Do you want to have the knowledge of Him? I do, with all my heart. And so let's not become weary in well-doing. Have any of you ever lost your keys, your car keys? Or is it just me? There's a lot of you there. Let me ask you this. Do you ever lose it when you have all the time in the world? No, why? I don't know why it happens that way, but whenever I misplace my car keys, it's when I'm already running late. And so I'll tell you what, when I go to find my keys, I don't seek casually. I'm not just like walk, I don't know where my keys are, you know, ho-hum, I don't know. I am upturning every area of my house. I'm dumping out garbage. I'm pulling up pillows. I'm looking even in the places where I don't think that I might find them. Why? Because I'm desperate. I'm desperate for those keys. And the Lord wants us to have that same desperation, that same earnest ability to seek Him until we find Him. Because He promises us that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. You know what that tells me? That if I'm hungry for God and I'm seeking after Him, there is no way He's going to let me remain hungry. He's going to come and fill me. He's going to come and fill you. If you have a hungry heart this afternoon, be encouraged, because as you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord says He will come and fill us. Isn't that a great promise? It's awesome. He's so good. He's good, more good than we even know. And I'm here to just proclaim His goodness. Number two, as you are becoming authentic, become committed to growing. You don't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, this was Paul. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. So, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, you don't have to be perfect, but I want to tell you something I've discovered in all my years of serving God, that when God gives you a desire to bring your heart to Him, He will help you. Many times people have come with such deep, dark secrets, and they have been in shame for years, thinking that they were the only ones that were going through that. Let me tell you this. My Bible and your Bible tells us that God gives grace to the humble. And it also tells us that we confess our sins one to another that we might be healed. I have seen, as people were humble enough to come forth with something that wasn't maybe perfect in their life, that God gave grace. And sometimes just a simple act of getting something out of the dark into the light is that first breaking of that thing off of you. I have seen more people set free just by confession than anything else, really, as they come and just are obedient to God's word, confessing your faults one to another that you might be healed. You think, well, I can never say anything. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm going through. Jesus already knows it. He's already knows it, and he's going to give us the humility and the grace to come and confess those things one to another, that we might see healing come and that we might rise up to be who he's called us to be. Number three, do not compare yourself with someone else. I already touched on that. Why be a paler version or a watered-down version of someone else when you can be the full-strength version of who he's called you to be? Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Don't compare yourself one to another. You know, as human beings, that comes so natural. I remember when I was in a boarding school, I was a missionary kid, and I went to high school in a boarding school. And I remember one afternoon I had read that verse, and I just shared it with my roommate, and I said, you know what? God's really speaking to me about not comparing ourselves. I was maybe 15 at the time. And she said, wait a minute, hold that thought. She went out and she gathered the whole dorm full of women, brought them back and says, now you tell them what you just told me. And I read that verse. That was my first actual ministry time. And it was totally unplanned, totally uncalled for, totally informal. And it was simply the power of a verse of scripture where the Lord says, you don't have to compare yourself to anyone else. I've made you original. You just be about your Father's business and be obedient to what I've called you to be, and you will be absolutely more than fine because God has given each one of us something. And that goes right into my next point. My next point is that we live for someone other than ourselves. Do you know that we are all called for something other than living for ourselves? First of all, of course, we live to please Jesus. We live not to please people, but to please him. But I want to tell you that you are called to be a blessing to others. Every day I have started getting up and saying, Lord, who do you want me to touch today? Who do you want me to bring joy to today? Who can I share your word with today? Who can I make their life just a little bit easier because I walk near them today? And as we pay attention and realize that we are not just called for ourselves, we are called to be a blessing to his people, to a lost and dying world that does not know Jesus, he can use us more than we ever imagined. I have discovered that as long as I aim to please him for first and foremost, that he can use me in ways that I never even imagined. And he will do it for you as well as you begin to live for someone other than yourselves. Purpose that you will begin to think only on Christ. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then the last thing I want to share with you is realize that the enemy hates two things. The devil hates your relationship with the Lord, and he hates the purpose for which you were called. You know, something hit me this week that I've never thought about in all my years of serving God. You know, the enemy was in heaven. He was a worship leader, the scriptures tell us. The scriptures tell us he was beautiful. He had instruments actually built into his body. He had a high calling, would you not say? He was called to lead multitudes and multitudes into the presence of God. And if he had lived his purpose, he would still be in heaven leading worship. But we know what happened. We know that he sinned and he fell and he took a third of the angels with him. But what the Lord began to speak to me about is, you see, he knows he can never fulfill his purpose. He has forever sabotaged his purpose. That is not the same thing for you and for me. We, as long as we are living, we are fully able to apprehend that for which God called you to do. If you are alive and breathing and sitting here this afternoon, then God's not done with you yet. If you are in this building under the sound of my voice, then God has a plan for you, and I believe that he brought you here this afternoon to confirm that only you can do what only you can do, because he created you unique, and the enemy is after that purpose. And that's why so many times we are just besieged with negative thoughts, negative imaginings, thinking, oh, I'm not worth anything, I can't do anything, I'm rejected, I'm this, and that is all from the devil, who would not like you to fulfill your purpose, because he can never fulfill his. But I want to tell you something, as long as you don't quit, you will get the victory in Jesus' name. Do not stop. Do not become weary in well-doing. The Lord is well able to help you to finish your race strong and in victory in Jesus' mighty name. So the enemy hates that, though. Don't let him have it. Determine today, by God's grace, by God's strength, I will endure to the end. I will run my race, and I will cross the finish line. You know, it doesn't matter if you've fallen short up till now. Do you know that God is the best forgetter of what goes behind you than anybody I know? The Bible says that he removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Maybe you've committed some grievous sins. Do you know what? It's not too late. The Lord is here. He is able to forgive and turn the page and give you a brand new start. Your life can begin for real this afternoon, to run your race with every bit of strength that you have within you. And the Lord is here to back you up. The devil hates that. But I want to tell you something. We are, praise God, under the grace of God. We are, praise God, created in his image. God has an amazing purpose for each one of you. I can look out and it's like the Lord is just showing me different pieces to the puzzle. When we all come together, we create a beautiful picture. We all have a part to play, but the Lord is dealing with each one of us that we would rise up and say, you know what? I have maybe in the past wanted to be someone else. No more. I want to be fully who God created me to be, and I'm committed to finding out who that is as I discover more of him. As I discover who Jesus is, I began to see who I am. And the Lord has got amazing plans for all of you. Can we stand to our feet? I just had a quick word for the sister here in green. I see that the Lord is dealing with you in a very special way. He's pulling some things up to begin to speak to you. You know, it's not been easy. I can see some struggles, but I really believe the Lord, when I was talking about that page that's turning, that was for you. That page is turning, and the Lord says, as you come to him and as you believe on him, he's going to flip the page in your life, and he's going to begin to even write a brand new story. God has called you for some great and mighty things, and maybe you don't even realize what he has put within you, but the Lord says that when you finally find out exactly the depth of those, that you are going to rise up and be a warrior for him, and you're going to see the enemy defeated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Tatiana, I just feel to encourage you that you're on the right track. The Lord says he's got your back. And you have not stumbled. It's like I see him taking you and linking arms with you and saying, let's walk together, daughter. We've got this. We've got this together. And so it just wanted me to give you that word of encouragement today. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands up toward heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, for each person that's here. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives. Lord, I thank you that you have called us today for such a time as this. Lord, your word says that you put each one of us in the body as you please. And so, Father, if we are here today, then I believe that means you have put us here. And so, Father, I thank you that as you call each person, Lord, today, you have made them unique, Lord. You have made them authentic. And Lord, as we are about the business of becoming more and more authentic and more transformed, Lord, I pray that you would give us grace. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know you, or if anyone here that once knew you and has slipped behind, Father, I pray that you would restore them in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Pastor Jackie, come and pray with us. Thank you, Lord.